Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the May 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin with RF Current, news from the world of communications by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR. NAB 2024 Convention. The National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, the National Trade Association for Legacy Terrestrial Radio and Television Broadcasters, held their annual convention in Las Vegas during the second week of April. According to NAB, there were 65,000 attendees from 162 countries, three-quarters of whom were buyers, wielding a collective $17 billion in purchasing power. The show featured more than 1,200 exhibitors from 41 countries, representing all the big names in broadcast technology and services. Attendees were there to hear more than 1,050 industry thought leaders, including YouTube stars and personalities who presented more than 750 sessions. Celebrities in attendance came from Hollywood, broadcasting, content creators, sports, entertainment, and technology. Among the topics presented were the impact of generative AI, the rollout of ATSC 3.0 next-gen TV, and NAB's support for the draft legislation to preserve Americans' access to AM radio. Dozens of awards were issued for sustainability, leadership, and the annual NAB Crystal Radio Awards, recognizing radio stations for their exceptional year-round commitment to community service. DRM Shortwave A24 Schedule. The Global Digital Radio Mondial, DRM A24 Schedule for programs broadcast in the shortwave digital format, has been released, and you can check it out at drm.org. While none of the broadcasts are aimed at North America, U.S. listeners may be able to catch stalwart DRM HF broadcasters Radio Romania International and Radio Kuwait, which are beamed to Europe but receivable at least in the eastern part of the U.S. Many receivers on KiwiSDR.com/public offer DRM reception, which is the best way for most to experience this type of shortwave broadcast. DRM listeners around the world also participate in the DRM Reception Project, which reports daily reception of various DRM transmissions using Dream software at drmrx.org/forum. FCC proposes changes to allow FM booster program origination. In a report and order dated April 2nd, the FCC seeks comment on a further notice of proposed rulemaking, NPRM, regarding program origination of FM boosters. The NPRM states, FM boosters currently serve the limited purpose of rebroadcasting primary FM or LPFM stations in areas of poor reception. Geo Broadcast Solutions LLC, GBS, has developed technology that is designed to allow licensees of primary FM broadcast stations to originate content using FM boosters and is intended to do so without raising the potential for harmful co-channel interference to the reception of the primary station's signal outside the coverage area of the booster station or to previously authorized secondary stations. GBS proposes that this content origination technology will allow broadcasters to air geo-targeted content different from the primary station's signal to specific areas within the primary station's service contour. GBS argues that geo-targeted broadcasting can deliver significant value to broadcasters, advertisers, and listeners in distinct communities. By broadcasting more relevant, localized programming and information, stations choosing to use this technology might, for limited portions of each broadcast hour, air advertisements from businesses that wish or can only afford to focus their reach on small geographic areas, and or might air hyper-local news and weather reports most relevant to a particular community. GBS further observes that many other types of media, such as online content providers, cable companies, ATSC 3.0 television stations, and newspapers, are able to differentiate their content geographically, but no such option exists for radio broadcasting. GBS filed a petition for rulemaking, seeking a rule change to allow FM boosters to originate such geo-targeted content, which it argues would enhance the ability of FM broadcasters, especially small and minority broadcasters, to compete in their local advertising markets. Upon consideration of supportive and opposing comments, we find it would serve the public interest to allow FM broadcasters to originate content on boosters, as set out below. Moreover, in order to allow us to authorize broadcasters to offer this service on a permanent basis, we address a number of processing, licensing, and service issues through the further NPRM. Broadcast radio update. Salem Media Group struggles. Texas-based Salem Media Group is an unusual radio conglomerate in the U.S. It's a religious broadcast media group that owns 95 radio stations, 62 of which are in America's top 25 markets. It's commercially supported and had been listed on the tech-heavy NASDAQ exchange. It is now currently traded as an over-the-counter stock, where it trades under the SALM ticker symbol. Salem Media Group has a diversified portfolio within a Christian media umbrella that includes a podcast production company, a publishing company, a video streaming company, and a full-service radio network that serves Christian formatted and general market news talk radio stations through affiliate partnerships, according to the company's website. Unlike other religious broadcast conglomerates, such as Educational Media Foundation, which are tax-exempt nonprofit organizations, Salem lays claim to being one of the only Christian-oriented, publicly traded media companies in the U.S. But for how long? These have been trying times for all for-profit media companies, and that has been reflected in the company's year-end report and current stock market value. The company's stock reached a peak in 2004 at $33 per share. It suffered along with all other stocks in the 2008 banking collapse when it bottomed out at 53 cents per share. Slowly working its way back to $9.61 per share in 2013, it took a hit in the COVID collapse of 2020 when it fell to 88 cents per share. And after clawing its way back to $3.76 per share in October 2021, it has bounced around the 35 to 45 cents per share level this spring. In its fourth quarter of 2023 year-end filing, the company reported a $46 million operating loss. Like other radio conglomerates, Salem has had to sell off some of its properties to pay off debts, including its headquarters and several of its radio stations. It had previously owned more than 100 stations. The company held a number of assets, some of which were not directly related to its broadcast interests, and this helps illustrate the difficulty in making its broadcast mission profitable. At the end of 2023, it had sold its publishing company, 6 business condominiums in Miami, pulled out of a motion picture deal it had put $1.5 million into, agreed to sell land in Sarasota, Florida for $8.5 million, which was still pending at the end of the year, and it had agreed to sell Salem Church Products, Resources for Ministry, for $30 million, a deal which eventually fell through. According to the company's proxy statement filed for fiscal year 2022, executive compensation, cash, equity, and other compensation for the top brass at Salem Media Group included executive chairman, $1.2 million, chief executive officer, $1 million, chief operating officer, $977,000, all approved by the six members of the Salem Media Board of Directors, who combined were given over $300,000 for their work. The Salem business saga is in line with other radio conglomerates, including the oft-reported Odyssey bankruptcy, a tale of economic woe and investment fiasco that stretches out over the last decade. That brings us to the latest radio index. Together, 11 companies own 2,445 U.S. commercial radio stations. How are the companies that control most of America's radio content faring? As of April 15th, here are the current stock prices. iHeartMedia, 860 stations, $2.21 per share, 46% down year on year. Cumulus, 428 stations, $3.07 per share, down 21% year on year. Town Square, 350 stations, $12.83 per share, up 37%. Odyssey, 235 stations, 21 cents per share, down 95%. Alpha Media, 207 stations, stock price not available. American Family, 178 stations, stock price not available. Salem, 95 stations, 40 cents per share, down 60.9%. Saga Communications, 91 stations, $22 per share, down 5.9%. Midwest Communications, 78 stations, stock price not available. Urban One, 67 stations, $1.86 per share, down 71%. Beasley, 63 stations, 72 cents per share, up 13.4% year on year. In addition, Educational Media Foundation is without doubt in the best position financially of all radio conglomerates in the U.S. As a nonprofit 501c3 corporation controlling some 1,000 radio licenses, EMF has assets at just under $1 billion. National Public Radio is a network of some 1,000 local and regional listener-supported nonprofit radio stations, not owned by any of the commercial broadcast companies or EMF. Employment. The radio sector in the U.S. is still a big employer. According to company websites, here's how many people work among the big radio station owners. iHeartMedia, 9,000 plus. Cumulus, 3,700. Odyssey, 3,500. Town Square, 2,400. Salem Media, 1,100. Urban One, 1,000. Saga Communications, 800. Beasley, 750. EMF, 500. More than 22,000 people are employed by the big radio companies in the U.S., but tens of thousands more are employed among small radio groups, individually owned and operated commercial radio stations, and among the more than 1,000 independent non-commercial radio stations. Other station groups. RadioLineup.com keeps a fairly updated list of radio station ownership groups. There are more than 900 radio stations owned by smaller radio groups, mostly regional groups or religious or Spanish language station groups. American General Media, 25 stations owned. Arizona Hometown Radio Group, 12 stations. Bible Broadcasting Network, 37 stations. Bi-Coastal Media, 52 stations. Binney Media, 17 stations. Bonneville International, 22 stations. Bustos Media, 29 stations. Connoisseur Media, 23 stations. Cox Radio, 59 stations. Emmis Communications, 6 stations. Entravision Communications, 47 stations. Family Stations, 36 stations. Forever Media, 44 stations. Greater Media, 2 stations. Hubbard Radio, 35 stations. Journal Broadcast Group, 17 stations. Latin Media Network, 17 stations. Liberman Broadcasting, 15 stations. Lotus Communications, 44 stations. Mapleton Communication, 46 stations. Maverick Media, 6 stations. Merulo Media, 5 stations. Minnesota Public Radio, 43 stations. Moody Bible Institute, 36 stations. Morris Communications, 6 stations. Multicultural Broadcasting, 31 stations. Nassau Broadcasting, 26 stations. New Northwest Broadcasters, 9 stations. Next Media Group, 1 station. NRG Media, 34 stations. Pamal Broadcasting, 22 stations. Quantum Communications, 11 stations. Renda Broadcasting, 10 stations. Triad Broadcasting, 5 stations. Univision Communications, 43 stations. Way Media, 23 stations. West Virginia Radio, 28 stations. FCC broadcast station totals released as of March 31, 2024. 4,427 AM stations. 6,663 FM commercial stations. 4,320 FM educational stations. 1,960 low-power FM stations. 8,913 FM translators and boosters. 26,283 total licensed radio stations in the U.S. As seen in the information above from the FCC, U.S. radio broadcasting is still a hardware giant, relying on actual radio stations with studios, transmitters, and towers, and real people staffing them, producing programming received by actual listeners using actual radios. Despite the issues faced by big U.S. radio conglomerates, according to Statista, American radio stations generated total revenue of over $12 billion in 2022, only $1.7 million of which was generated through online radio streaming. And now the shortwave listener by Fred Waterer, programming_matters@yahoo.ca. Canada on shortwave. Radio Canada International could trace its origins to the Second World War. It was felt that Canada needed an international voice to counter enemy propaganda and to be a link from home for Canadian forces serving abroad, almost exclusively in Europe. It was inaugurated in 1945, just before the end of the war. By the time I started listening in 1978, it was a well-established and respected voice on the international airwaves. The RCI transmitter site also included a 24-hour service in English, French, and Indigenous languages for Canada's far north. There were also a number of regional, mostly private, shortwave relays in places like St. John's, Newfoundland, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Montreal, Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver, all operating at 1 kilowatt. The stations in St. John's and Vancouver relayed CBC programming. The others relayed what we now think of as heritage stations in those cities. Montreal's CFCX relayed CFCF, generally regarded as Canada's first radio station. In the 1950s and 1960s, Cuff Cuff was a popular rock station. DJ Dave Boxer was one of the first to play some new band out of Liverpool in 1963, and famously traveled to the UK to meet them and encourage them to visit Montreal. When they took him up on it, he was the one who introduced them at their concert. My understanding is that the Beatles did pretty well and had some hits. Fast forward to more recent times, and a series of Canadian governments chipped away at RCI's budget. Eventually, RCI and the CBC Northern Quebec service were shut down and the transmitters demolished. One by one, the regional shortwave outlets shut down, in some cases along with their parent stations. Apparently, they just turned off the transmitter in St. John's and waited for a reaction. There was little or none. And that brings us to the last man standing of Canadian shortwave broadcasting. CFRX in Toronto is the last Canadian shortwave broadcaster, not counting CHU, the time signal station in Ottawa. This 1 kilowatt blowtorch relays the programming of CFRB, itself a heritage station, Canada's first Rogers batteryless. Rogers figured out how to operate a radio off house currents. CFRB was once one of the giants of Canadian broadcasting. It's still a major player in the Toronto market as News Talk 1010. Try for CFRX on 6070 kHz. It has generally been well heard at my QTH, but then again, I am 50 miles as the crow flies across the lake from the transmitter. CFRX, like many talk radio stations, leans slightly right in its programming, but not exclusively. Evenings, Jim Richards presents a quirky, fun program, and on weekends, there are many syndicated and single-topic shows. At some point, CFRX will be gone, and with it, the last legal Canadian shortwave broadcasting outlet. Of course, there are some Canadian-based programs on shortwave from WRMI, such as Canadian Content Radio, UTC Fridays at 0000, and Pop Shop Radio, UTC Mondays at 0100 UTC. Radio Romania International presents great programming daily, and because of its unique location in Europe, its news broadcasts are well worth listening to, as RRI is the shortwave station closest to Ukraine. RRI can be heard broadcasting to the East Coast at 2030 to 2100 UTC on 13,650 kHz and 0000 to 0100 on 11,620 kHz, and to the West Coast at 0300 to 0400 on 9,740 kHz. One should also check out the Romanian language broadcasts at RRI. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.